Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I know that you heard a little bit about me, but I'm just a mere representative of God.
Amen.
So can we just stand on our feet and begin to give the Lord a praise on today?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, if you're glad that he woke you up this morning.
Thank
if you're glad that he started you on your way, told you in your right
Thank
mind,
brother.
He deserves the praise on today, Shiloh.
Yes,
come on, let's magnify him. Feels better, all right?
Yes. All right.
Amen. The sing, the choir say, here am I, Lord.
Here am I.
But I don't know about you, but I came to praise the Lord this morning.
All right.
Somebody asked, what did you come to do? I came to lift my hands.
Yeah.
I came to lift my voice.
Hey.
I came to sing my song.
All right.
I came to do a dance.
Yeah.
I don't know what you come to do,
yeah.
But I come to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to Pastor Armstrong in his absence, to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an honor to serve before you on this morning. And when I got the call or the text and then the call, the one thing that stood out to me about the text was Pastor Armstrong said, got an early Christmas gift for you. Nothing else gets your attention like an early Christmas gift. And so at the end of the call, we realized that my assignment was here this morning. And the one thing that stuck out for me or stayed with me while I was trying to prepare was an early Christmas gift. So providing that the Lord says the same, we're not going to belabor this time. We're not going to be before you long, but I know that it is the custom of the house to stand for the reading of the word. So we're going to be coming from Ephesians, the first chapter, and we're going to be reading the first 14 verses. And when you have it, just signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Ephesians, the first chapter, the first through the 14th verses. And the word of God reads on this wise. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us until the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abound toward us in all wisdom, prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom we also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you, God, for this day, this time, oh God. We thank you, God, that you would allow us to decrease as you increase. God, we decree and declare that your word will fall on good ground, God, and in due season bear fruit. God, we thank you right now for your word decrees that your word does not return unto us void, oh God. So right now we submit to you, oh God. We say, have thine way. We say, meet every need, God, of every member sitting in the congregation on today, oh God. We know that it is so, and so it is. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to lift up as you're taking your seats the last two verses, and it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise and glory, or praise of his glory. Amen. So now I know that, and we know that Pastor Armstrong has been doing a series on redemption. And so as I was pondering this morning on what to share for his people, and ministers in the house know that when you get the assignment, anything and everything that can go wrong, goes wrong. Right? From wardrobe, to hair, to daughter, to dog, it all goes wrong. But when the enemy starts stirring, we know that that's because there's an assignment and he's trying to distract or to interrupt what God is going to do. So in preparation for this morning, I was reminded when Pastor said he has a Christmas gift, the word gift just stuck with me. And I was reminded that we are in the season of Advent. And the word Advent in and of itself means the coming or arrival. Now, hence this is the season, hence that means that we are in the season where we are preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Christ, in his first coming, and we're celebrating the anticipation of his return, the second coming. And although as a society, we pay very little attention to the celebration of Christ's birth, because we're so preoccupied with all of our Christmas lists and our Christmas to-dos and our shopping. And any of us have children know that when the Toys R Us catalog comes out, they spend about an hour checking off everything in the book. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of taking that book and trying to help Santa meet those needs. But the reality is, the reason for the season is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So my thought on today, or my title for today, is the gift of redemption.
All right.
But I have a question for you. We're going to work through it together. What is your song of redemption? Now, I can't help but to wonder how many of us are not even, you know, we're close, we're paying a lot of attention to the toys and the gifts and everything we're going to buy for Christmas. We're not really paying too much, not too conscious of Christ's birth. But how many of us are paying or not so cognizant about Christ's return? I remember growing up in the church and I would hear the old mother say during prayer time, the Lord's return is nigh. And they would get real deep and sanctimonious, and they say, you can tell by the signs of the time. And being a singer, I know there's a song, I think Walter Hawkins wrote it, and he penned the words, tragedies are commonplace.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of diseases, and people are slipping. getting away.
Yeah.
He talks about the economy being down, and we can't get enough pay. Then he talks about their muggers and robbers. No place seems to be safe.
Right.
And there are folks without homes.
Yeah.
People are living in the streets.
Yeah.
He even mentioned the drug habits that you just can't beat. But I want to know, at the end of all of that, he said, but I want to say thank you, Lord,
thank you.
For all that you've done for me.
Yeah.
Now, if I were to really just go for a stretch, that is an example of a redemption song.
Amen.
Because a redemption song speaks of victory.
Well,
it's a praise, a song of praise. It's a song of deliverance.
Yeah.
And so when we begin to think about everything the Lord has done for us, it causes a thank you.
Amen.
This is our modern day example of a redemption song. But our text this morning speaks to the fact that all that Christ has done for us has been done through Jesus Christ.
Well.
And today I want to highlight that Christ has elected us, he's redeemed us, and he's sealed us.
Uh-huh.
In the first verses 4 through 6 of our text, we learn that before the foundation of the world, God had a plan for our salvation. Election is simply a sovereign, eternal decree of God. The ultimate goal of election is the glory and praise of God. Now, election comes with its benefits. The benefits of being elected are personal privilege, blessing, security, and peace, confidence in God. For the Bible decrees that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. They work together for those whom he foreknew. It says he predestined and to become conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn of many brethren. And then it went on to say that moreover, whom he predestined, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm talking about election on today. So I want you to know that today you have been elected. You've been elected by God despite the current situation in your life. And I want you to be encouraged that because of your election, you have the assurance that it's all going to work together for your good. When we moved on down to the 7th and 12th verses of the text, we moved from election to redemption. So not only has Christ elected us, but 7 verses 7 through 12 reminds us that Christ has redeemed us. Redemption in the Bible usually means released from slavery by the payment of a ransom. The Israelites, our biblical examples of redemption, they were redeemed or released from Egypt. They were freed after being slaves in Babylon. Today, we know that if someone is kidnapped, the kidnapper usually puts up a ransom, and the ideology is that once you pay the ransom, the kidnapped individual is freed. But how many of you know that the price of redemption for us was steep? Mere coins couldn't do it. Mere just leave them alone couldn't do it. It took the blood of Jesus Christ. So Jesus gave his blood for our ransom, for our sins. The fact that Jesus gave his blood, gave his life as a ransom for our sins, it redeemed us to God's purpose for us. It redeemed us from experiencing an internal life of death. It redeemed us from being separated from God. How many of you know but God? But God, through Christ, paid the price for redemption. Only God could deliver us. I don't know about you, but I've been entangled in some things. But God delivered us. But God set me free. But God renewed my mind. But God, he paid the price through Christ for our redemption.
And so I'm so thankful on this morning that not only did he elect us, he redeemed us, but the word said he sealed us. I want you to know today that he sealed us. Romans 10:1 tells us that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Having believed in Christ, the Christian is then marked. We are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now, historically, a seal was a personal sign of the owner. So if we went back to medieval times, whenever the king sent a message to another kingdom, he closed it or sealed it with a seal. In our own history, whenever a slave owner needed to send a message to someone else and he used the slave to transport it, in order to validate its integrity, he marked it with a seal. So a seal tells us, or it is a sign that the document is authentic. It tells us who sent the document. And the seal usually distinguishes true from anything counterfeit. And if we want to go any further about seals, how many of you like to cook? Yeah. The worst thing to do is when I'm making spaghetti. That's not the most. And I'm ready to add the sauce into my meat. And that seal keeps me from opening the jar. So we try, you know, I don't have the most strength. I try to turn and I try to pull, and then after a while we just start banging the seal. But the one thing that a seal does is it protects. It keeps it from getting contaminated. Okay, so the seal guarantees that all the continents, the contents stay intact. And so not only did God elect us, not only did he redeem us, but he sealed us with his Holy Spirit. He sealed us so that we could tell, so that the world would be able to tell his from anyone else. He sealed us so that we would walk as the light in the earth, drawing all men unto him. So my question for you this morning, what is your redemption song? What is your song for God's delivering grace in your life? What is God? What is your song for his redeeming blood? What is your song for his keeping power? What is your song for God's provision? What is your song for God being your sustainer? What is your song for God being your protection? What is your song for God snatching you out of the hand of the enemy? What is your song for God covering your family? What is your song for God healing you? What is your song for God making a way out of no way? What is your song for God keeping your mind in perfect peace? I came to ask you today, what is your redemption song? The Bible decrees that we ought to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Then it went on to say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The ones he redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now, what did he do? He went and he gathered us up. He gathered us when we were in a scattered state. He gathered us when we were in wandering in the desert wastelands of our circumstances and our situations. Some of us were hungry. Some of us were thirsty. Some of us were wasting away. Some of us were in distress. Some of us were consumed with the trouble that surrounds us. But God, he gathered us. He fed us. He continues to satisfy our thirst. Some of us were consumed by darkness, prisoners of everything wrong. Our realities, prisoners chained by our realities, chained by our circumstances, chained by what is facing us every day. But God broke the chains and brought us into the marvelous light. Some of us were sick. Some of emotionally sick. Some of us were mentally sick. Some of us were physically sick. And some of us were socially sick. But God redeemed us. But God rescued us. But God came and redeemed us. He redeemed us from the point of death. And he gave us life. And life more abundantly. What is your redemption song on today? I don't know about you, but my song is a song of praise. My song is a song of thanksgiving. My song is a song of exaltation. I came to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for sustaining us. Doing what nobody else can do. There was a songwriter that said, I searched high, I searched low, but I can't find nobody. Nobody like Jesus. So as we go about this season, as we go shopping, and we're going to spend money because that's what we do, remember that Jesus paid it all. And it's a cliche because we say it every year that Jesus is the reason for the season. It's the truth, but we use it as a cliche. And we get some kind of solace that we say, oh, well, Jesus is the reason of the season. Well, what is your redemption song? How do you give him a gift? What gift are you giving him for the redemption that he's given you? What is your redemption song?